The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, Mrs. Palmore. Wasn't that good? Amen. I love to hear her sing. That is just tremendous. I want to speak to, I think this kind of goes along. We did not plan the song with the sermon or the sermon with the song. But I want to speak to you this morning on choose the easy way. Choose the easy way. Now you say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bible and go back, if you will, for just a moment. And let's look, and we're going to examine these verses, but I want us to read them again. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to deliberately sit on these verses, okay? But here's what the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. The Bible says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think we have to recognize that the devil is a liar. And many times what we hear is that serving the Lord is hard. I don't know how many times I've heard that in my life. Serving the Lord is difficult. Serving the Lord is just a hard thing to do. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, however. The Bible teaches that serving the Lord, when we yoke up with Him, is easy. The Bible talks about how it's a light yoke. It's an easy yoke. And so I submit to you this morning that when you serve the devil and his crowd, it's hard. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. So we understand that serving the Lord, according to the Bible, is easy, but serving the devil is hard. Because the way of the transgressor is hard. We have young people that look and they see, here's a young person seemingly that goes into a bar. They get drunk, they come out, and they begin to say, well, I'll tell you what, you know, that young person's having fun. Really? What about the headache the next day? What about how it's beginning to pickle the liver? Somebody does drugs and they say, well, I'll tell you what, man, look at them. They have the freedom to be able to do drugs. Really? What about the brain cells it's killing? What about the memory that they're now losing, never to be able to recapture again? I submit to you this morning that the way of the transgressor is hard. But those that serve Jesus Christ and yoke up with Him, the Bible talks about it's easy. Let's notice some things. Can we do it? Look at Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse 28 specifically. The Bible says, come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So let me give you an outline to follow. And if you want to write it in your Bible to be able to come back to it and refer to it oftentimes, it might be worthy of note-taking. Statement number one, here's what we see in this particular verse. There's the request. He says, come on to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he has the request. What's the request? He simply says to come. Now, by the way, that denotes activity. When he says to come, it's simple. When he says to come, it's possible. When he says to come, it's achievable. It's simply an invitation. All you have to do is come. All you have to do is show up. So there's the activity. Not only that, notice this. There's the audience. Watch what he says here. He says, watch. He says, come on to me, all ye that labor. So not only do you see the activity where it says come, but he says, come on to me, all ye that labor. Now, by the way, there are those that are labor with a heavy burden. Avery, come up here, if you will. Watch this. And so here's a person that's laboring. Kind of help him put this on, if you will. All right? Here's a person that's laboring. They've got this heavy burden. And by the way, we all have burdens. Okay, bend over like it's a burden a little bit. All right? So we all have got burdens and we kind of walk along. And by the way, there are some out there that have the burdens of salvation Man, they're trying to go to heaven. They're trying to make it. They'll add all these religious things to it. You know, I need to be baptized. I need to be good. I need to keep the seven sacraments. I need to keep at least two of the Ten Commandments. I need to join a certain religious group that's called a church. I need to do this, that, or the other. And they're trying to merit that which is salvation. What's happening? They're laboring, and it's heavy. All right? When they come to Christ, here's what Christ does. Christ now says, no, wait a minute. You don't have to do that. I'm the one. All right? You don't have to trust baptism to take you to heaven. You don't have to be good in order to go to heaven. You don't have to try and keep two or the three or the four or the five or the 10 or 15 or 20 of the commandments or 52 of the commandments that's given in your Bible throughout the scriptures. You don't have to even try and keep one of the or two of the 10 commandments in order to go to heaven that we find in Exodus chapter 20. You don't have to be a church member in order to go to heaven. You don't have to try to participate in the Lord's Supper in order to go to heaven. You don't have to read your Bible through one times frontwards and two times backwards in order to go to heaven. You don't have to do that. But here's what you do. When you yoke up with Christ in that relationship by faith and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, now you understand you don't have to labor in order to go to heaven. But don't stop there. For those of you and I that are believers, we don't have to bear the burdens that we're trying to bear all by ourselves. Can I tell you, the Bible says the arm of the flesh shall fail you. All right? You try to bear the burdens that you're trying to bear all by yourself. I'm gonna predict something. I'm going to be your prophet. You're going to fail. There's no way under heaven that you're going to be a success in trying to bear your own burdens. There's no way. It's impossible. You know why? Because you have an arm of the flesh, and the arm of the flesh shall fail you. By the way, when you're trying to work for God in the arm of the flesh, no wonder you get frustrated. When you're trying to come to Sunday school in the arm of the flesh, where you're combating against your flesh and you let your flesh win, no wonder you feel frustrated and miserable. There's a Holy Ghost inside of you saying, this is what you ought to do. Then you have a flesh that says, this is what you ought to do. And they're combating one to the other. So for the believer that bears the burden, you don't have to bear the burden by yourself. You don't have to walk along life's pathway all burdened down saying, I just don't know if I can make it. Can I tell you? You won't. As long as you're trying to bear the burden by yourself. So he says, the activity you see here, he says, hey, come. Just come. To the audience, he says, hey, this is for everyone. He says, all. Then he says, to me. So there's the announcer. So stand up, if you would, Brother Craig. And so here's a person burdened down, and the Lord says, come. Now they've got a choice. They can decide they're not going to come. They can decide, okay, I heard what he said, heard what the preacher said, heard what the Sunday school teacher said, heard what my parents said, heard what my counselor said, but I'm just not going to do it. You see, it's up to us to decide if we want to come or not. You know, some people like being miserable. They do. Some people like being down. Get some more attention. Gets more sympathy. You know, some people just like that. Can I tell you, God says that his burden is light.
Amen.
So what am I supposed to do? If I want God to help me with my burden, I have to hear first off when he says, come. I have to realize that inside of that all, I'm included. I have to hear the announcer that says, come unto me. Doesn't say, come on to my best friend. Doesn't say, come on to the person that looks up to me or me up to them. Says, come on to me. There's nobody that can help your burden like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's nobody that can satisfy like Jesus Christ. And there's nobody that gives a personal invitation like Jesus Christ. So we see there's the activity. What is it? It's come. To the audience, says all, that's me included. The announcer, that's Jesus Christ. Look at the award of it. He says, and I will give you rest. So once I decide to go to where I'm supposed to go, to the one that I'm supposed to go to, the award of that is that he gives me rest. I can have rest in Jesus Christ. All right? So we see that there's the request. The request has come. We see there's the request. It's given to all. We see there's the request. It's announced by Jesus. We see there's the request. There's going to be an award with it if you decide to do it. Then we see there's the requirement. He says this. He says, take my yoke upon you. All right, now, if you'll come over here, Brother Craig. You know, I was raised on a farm a little bit. We did yoke animals together. All right, stand right beside him, right beside Avery here. Watch this. Did you know Avery might be holding the heaviness? And by the way, you might be holding the heaviness too. You might be burdened down. Might be sin. You might be burdened down. Might be a problem. You might be burdened down. Might be a complication. You might be burdened down. Might be with studies. You might be burdened down. Might be financially. You might be burdened down. Might be a responsibility of a relationship. Might be a job, might be your neighbor, might be your mother-in-law. You know, why is it I can name all those things? There's something about Western civilization that's just absolutely mean towards mother-in-laws. You ever notice that? I name all these things. Finances, you know, drugs. Man, might be there's a guy, he's waiting to rob you. Might be, you know, and then all of a sudden you say mother-in-law, and the whole congregation will go, ooh. Man, that's worse than a robber, worse than a thief. I can mention ISIS. You wouldn't say a thing. Mother-in-law, ooh. And here we go. Man, so we got all these burdens. So these burdens, now he said this. He said the way to be able to bear your burdens is to yoke up. We'll use your arm. That's the only thing I've got right now. So, all right, so there's that yoke. So he said, I'm going to yoke you up if you will come to me. Now, by the way, you have to come. Let me say it again. You have to come. Oh, preacher, I think I'm going to make it. You've already proven you're a failure. Preacher, I can't believe you called me a failure. I'm saying you've already proven you can't do it by yourself. There's no way you can do it by yourself. You have tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed. What makes you think if you try again, you're not going to fail?
Amen.
So you've got to decide that you're going to do it God's way. And God said, here's the requirement. He said, in service, he said, take my yoke upon you. What does that speak of? It speaks of submission. I decide that I will submit myself to Christ. I decide that Christ is the one that can help me. Doesn't matter what the problem is. Doesn't matter how deep it is. Doesn't matter how wide it is. Doesn't matter how far it goes back. Doesn't matter what the ramifications are that I went through in times gone by. He said, listen, understand who I am. I'm the one that has the yoke. And he said, when you yoke up with me, when you decide, let me be in charge. When you submit to him. So it speaks of submission. Not only that, it speaks of partnership. I am partnering with Christ. Christ is the one that's going to help me. So we see there's the requirement. What is that? I decide in service, I'm going to yoke up with him. But we also see this. There's schooling. Now watch this. The partnership that I have with Christ is that which gives birth to the schooling. Okay, watch. Here we go. Here we go. Take it off. If I decide, keep it on, you're burdened. If I decide that I'm going to take and still be burdened and I don't yoke up with Christ, after the yoking comes the schooling. If you never yoke, you never learn.
Amen.
Okay, watch, you stay there, come back here, Avery, come back. Just walk along a little bit, fall, get back up, go. Okay, get back up. Exercise. Here we go. A little bit farther, go down. This is how we live our life. A little bit farther, go down. It's how we live our life. Over and over again. Oh, you're good now. Now watch. But that's how we live our life. We'll walk along. We got the burden. We get frustrated. When we get frustrated, we give out. We go down. We walk along. We get frustrated. Man, I tell you what, I'm trying to be a good dad. I'm trying. And something doesn't work, and you fall. And you get back up and say, I'm going to try again. And then you fall. Try to be a good mom. Try to be a good Christian. Try to be somebody that's going to give loyalty to Christ. And all of a sudden, these things hit you. Now, wait a minute. I'm still not learning what I need to learn. Stay with me now, while I'm doing it by myself. Because all I'm doing is falling down, getting up. Falling down, getting up. Falling down, getting up. Falling down, getting up. Come on, if you want to be educated, you've got to get with the educator. Jesus Christ is the educator of life. So I tell you what, I'm going to go over here and get education. Doesn't match up. Because you're missing the education of the life giver who knows more about life than anybody else that he has created. Amen. You have a missing link in your life. Amen. No wonder sometimes, come on back. Here we go. Man, we're happy. Jump up and down with your burden. Jump up and down. That's why I got a young guy. Okay, then fall down. Sad. Boy, he gets up again, walks a little while, gets happy, falls down, sad. And he gets up, walks a little bit farther, gets happy, falls down, sad. That's the way we live our life. You know, 1 minute we're happy. Yes, 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 yes. Roller coaster land. Man, yes, yes. And then all of a sudden, the burden gets so heavy and we fall. All right? Now, wait a minute. Why are we doing that? Because we're not yoked up. If you would learn to yoke up and let Jesus Christ, here's what you're doing. You say, I'm going to make a choice whether I come to church on Sunday night or not. Hey, you ought to be mature enough to understand that shouldn't even be a choice. You're not yoking up. And that's how come you fall and you get up and you fall and you get. Why don't you let God be in charge? Why don't you let God have a part of your life? Why don't you decide that you're supposed to live for Him? You're not supposed to live for you. Why don't you decide you're not the important one? He is. There's the requirement. As I serve, I need to yoke up with Him. The school of learning, watch the order of it. First, I accept His yoke. Secondly, I learn of Him. If I don't yoke up with Him, I'll never learn of Him. If you're not close to someone, you never learn about them. Okay, watch this. I'm going to judge somebody from a distance. I'm going to cast the shadow on their life. Well, first off, that's not fair. Second off, it's hard to place a proper judgment on somebody that you don't know very personally. Well, I heard. That's dangerous. I think one of the most incriminating, one of the most polluted things out there today is social media when illy used. I think it's a great tool if you're going to use it for God. But I think when you decide not to use anything for God, it could become the ill of man. And I'm seeing more social media stuff used for the ill of man than I am for the glory of God. Now, you have to be careful. Because what you're doing is you're taking, okay, here we go. I've got to hurry. But watch. There's the request. What's the request? He says, come. Who's it to? The audience is all. Who's the announcer? Christ. What's the reward? I'll give you rest. But then he said, I've got a requirement. In order to be able to receive my light yoke, you not just need to come to me, you have to yoke up with me. He said, now when you yoke up with me, here's the advantage of that. I'm going to school you. I am going to school you. Now you're in school with Jesus Christ. Now you're learning things that only God will teach you when you yoke up with Him. It's different. Look, anybody can come to church. Anybody can. Anybody can read their Bible through in a year. How hard is that? I mean, even a kid in elementary school can read their Bible through in 1 year. I mean, come on, really? How difficult is that? I mean, anybody can come to an altar and pray. How hard is that? But I'll tell you what, it becomes hard when you submit yourself to God's schooling. Now it becomes difficult. Because now it's like, God, what do you want? See, I'm not in this to please me. I'm in this to please you. I'm not in this to see how much I can get out of it. I'm in this to see how much I can help others get close to you. I'm not in this to serve me. I'm in this to serve you. It's not what I think that's important. It's what you say, Christ, that's important. My opinions do not matter. What does matter is, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
All right? So there's the request. That request of come. That request given to all. That request giving by the Savior. That request giving rest. And then he says, but if you really, really want to be able to be that one that's able to bear that burden that you're bearing on your own back, you've got to be willing to yoke up with me. Watch this. Here's the reward. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, it's easier to abstain from drinking booze than it is to become a drunkard. Because the end result of that, the way of the transgressor, is hard. It's easier to quit smoking than it is to die of lung cancer. It's easier. It's easier to listen to godly music than become addicted to the devil's junk. It's just easier. It's easier, if you will, to take time out of your day to read the Bible every day than it is to try and live your life without God's strength. It's easier. It's easier to maintain a prayer time where you go to God and you ask God to help you than to suffer the consequences of not talking to God and having God not a part of your life. It's just easier. Man, it's easier to have no worldly crowd pulling on you than it is to suffer the consequences of having a damaged testimony. It's just easier. It's easier to pay the tithe than to deal with the devourer. It's just easier. It's easier, if you will, to be able to live for God in righteousness than to suffer that which is the consequences of an unrighteous life. It's just easier. It's easier to train your child to do right, get the blessing thereof, than to watch your child not even know what's right is because you're not doing it and you're their pattern, than to watch what's coming out at the end of their life. Come on. Your child will not become what you want them to be. They will only become the spitting image and shadow of who you are. So what do? I take and I understand that there's great consequences. Now wait a minute. Here we understand that his yoke is light. There was the Russian countess that accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. The Tsar, the Emperor of Russia, was very displeased. He threw her in prison. After 24 hours in the lowliest state of Russian prison that a person could be in, he brought her back out and said, you have an opportunity right now to recant. All you have to do is just say that I made a mistake, I made an error, and I did not receive Jesus Christ. You can recant. To his surprise, she said this, I know more joy being in a Russian prison with Jesus Christ than I've ever known in a lifetime in the courts of the Tsar. You know why? Because she changed who she yoked up with. Now I'm saying, there's the request, there's the requirement, there's the reward. Watch this. There's the reassurance. Look at the unexpected character. Jesus said, for he says, I am meek and lowly of heart. Come on, meek. You'd expect somebody, I'll give you arm rest. You'd expect somebody to take and be somebody that would come in, knight in shining armor. Man, and this is how we view victory. You know, man, he's carrying a gun. He's got big machete. He's got a big armor. He's coming in a tank, maybe, flying over with a destroyer. No, he said, look, he said, I'll tell you who I am. I'm meek. It's not proud, not arrogant, not self-sufficient. No, he's relying on God, his Father. He knows who to rely on. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's the unexpected character, but he's there for you. He's the unbeatable, a person that has being able to take over all consequences. He's unbeatable. There's never a consequence. There's never a circumstance. There's never a problem that's overcome him. The Bible talks about, he says, and ye shall find rest for your soul. He said, man, I'm going to give you rest. Now watch, here we go. You ready? Here we go. All by himself. Average Christian right here. All by himself. I'm going to make myself go to church. I'm going to force it. I mean, I'm going to give it everything I've got. All right? He goes to church. All of a sudden, somebody says something bad about him. Loses his temper, chews him out. He's fallen. Gets back up, goes to God, says, God, please forgive me. Help me with this. Goes to God, says, okay, I got it. I got it now. I got it. All right? Then all of a sudden, falls again. And by the way, this is going to be life. Just keep passing him. Falls again. All through life. All through life. Now he's in his 40s. Falls again. Notice how he falls more tender when he's in his 40s. He's in his 50s now. Falls again. In his 60s now. Falls again. We're not going to make him fall off. Okay, now watch. Watch this. And so and people can get used to falling and getting up again. And that becomes a way of life. They get used to it. This is the norm. This is, hey, sometimes, and by the way, people like that are so unpredictable. Sometimes they love God. Yes! Sometimes they're bitter towards God. No! I mean, it's just, so how can I get over that, preacher? What do I do? Here we go. You simply come to Christ, and you yoke up. Because he says, listen, he says, my yoke is easy. So explain that. It's very easy. Christ is bigger than you. Greater is he, Christ, that is in you than he that's in the world. So watch. He says, look, he says, greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. Okay? Now, wait a minute. So he is greater in you. So I did that at salvation. There's more to it than salvation. Salvation is more than just being saved. Did you know that? Salvation is more than just the deliverance of the soul. Now you have the ability to be able to be delivered from all the problems, all the temptations, all the complexity, because you're not facing it alone. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Okay, now wait a minute. And so you yoke up with that which is Christ. As you yoke up with that which is Christ, how is it easy when you got a yoke around? It seems restrictive. How's it so easy? Okay, Christ is bigger than you. You have a yoke straight across. You got a big oxen. Anybody ever call you ox before? Good. Got big oxen, little oxen. Who's going to bear the most weight? Who's going to be doing the most pulling? Who's going to be taking the weight off of the littler one? The big one. Christ is bigger than any problem you ever had. When you come to Christ and you allow yourself to yoke up with him and you decide, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk beside him. I will be submissive. I will allow God to be able to school me in that which is the darkest hour of my life. Though everybody else may look upon him and say he's meek and he's lowly, I never forget who he is. He's the Christ. I'm saying there's the request. There's that which is the requirement. There's the reward. There's the reassurance. Let me give you this. Let your hand rest, and I'm done. Here it is. There's the reminder. But by the way, listen to me. The right way is the easy way. I love my dear parents. I love my dear parents. I love my dear parents. They smoked, young age, all the time. Mama started smoking, she was 6 years old. Her dad thought it was funny, gave her smokes. She died at age 54. Her death was horrendously hard. Hard. I watched my dad. I don't know if it was stress. I was telling Brother Bell about this. We were fellowshipping before Sunday school. I don't know. He worked at Maryland National Bank, Baltimore City. He was a master electrician, and then they put him over all of the Maryland banks. He had an office down at the main Maryland National Bank. He was over all the electrical stuff, the computers that was coming in. I mean, he was just over hundreds of guys. And I watched after that took place. I watched the paperwork drive him nuts. I watched it. My dad, not a Christian, did not turn to the Lord, but rather turned to the bottle. I watched that take place in my own family. Now later on, thank the Lord, he got saved.
Amen.
But I watched that bottle come into the house and ruin our family. I watched it. Way of the transgressor is hard. I watched it. We could always tell when Dad came home and he was in a good mood, almost all the time, very rarely, not every single Friday, but a lot. He'd come home drunk on Fridays, so he got his paycheck. He'd come home drunk, 45-minute drive from Baltimore City to where we lived in the country, in Hampstead, Maryland, 45-minute drive. Somewhere along the line, he'd stop, he'd get drunk. We could always tell when it was going to be a good time and always when it was going to be a bad time. Just by the way, he pulled in the driveway. Brother Barker, when we understood he was going to be sort of like Jell-O, he pulled in real slow. He'd get out real slow. He'd shut the door real tender. Brother Walters, when he came in, we could always tell when it was going to be a rough time. He'd get out, he'd screech into the driveway, he'd jam it in the park. He'd get out of the truck, sometimes even leaving the door open, you know, or he'd slam the door as harshly as he could. He'd come stomping in the house. He would slam the porch door, the summer porch door. He would walk into the kitchen. He'd slam the door. He'd be throwing stuff as soon as he walked in, cursing the whole way, yelling and screaming. We always knew it was going to be hard. Now, let me tell you, when Christ saved my daddy, my whole life changed. I was already away at Bible college, but things changed. Things changed.
Amen.
I mean, things took place. I mean, Christ moved in. It's like the devil moved out.
Amen.
Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying there's some reminders here. The wrong way is the hard way. The Christian life without the yoke is the difficult way. The Christian life is going to be full of burdens. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you don't have burdens. Come on, folks, we're real, aren't we? You're going to have burdens. You're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties. The problem is when you try and handle those burdens over and over again by yourself, and you have to understand this. You have to understand this, that a part of coming to church faithful, reading your Bible, praying, that's a part of building your armor. That's a part of building yourself to the point, to the place through the Word of God that now you're able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. You're able to withstand against the fiery darts. Look, I'd rather my kid get close to a Sunday school teacher that's walking with God, you know, than going through his life, falling and getting up, and then stand up, Brother Jonathan. And then he goes to school and he gets close to an unsaved teacher. And the unsaved teacher gives him wisdom that's not Bible. Come on. Okay, all right. Gets close to a neighbor. Okay, wait. Gets close to a gang member. Gets close to a boss. See, somewhere along the line, we have to understand and become educated as parents and as responsible people that we have a precious life in our hand and we are supposed to be the one that directs that one. Well, you want to get more for you than against you. You want to get more on your side than against you. That's why I thank God we have a Christian school. Last time I heard, not one of our teachers curses. Well, I'm being for real. No, they don't curse. I'm not seeing one of our teachers walking down the hallway doing the, you know, dancing to some rock song. I'm not seeing that. I've only seen Brother Crutcher drink alcohol twice. It's when he had two bad days. No, I'm kidding. He doesn't drink alcohol. Okay? Oh, yeah. My critics will just take that part right there. Okay? Now watch this, if you will. I'm saying this. I'm saying that you decide. Man, put people in their life. You ready? Here's one of the ways you can yoke them up. Ready? Yoke up with Christ. Here's one way. Come on. Here we go. Come on, all you guys. Come here. Here's the way you yoke them up. Come here. Come here. Get a youth director in his life right here. Come on. Get a, if he's in a Bible college, get a Bible professor in his life right here. Get him in the music department right here. Get the college administrator who's going to help guide his life and counsel him right here. You cry. Now, can I tell you, there's more safety there. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. It's talking about those counselors that's in the authority of your life. So, man, there is safety there. And you know, here's a kid saying, ah, ah. Well, I'd rather a kid go, than to get out there smoking weed. Yeah, because eventually what's going to happen, and by the way, these are not bad people. These are not bad people. These are educators. These guys know the Bible. They've counseled people for years and years and years. Man, you get them around somebody like that, and all it's going to do is help. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. Watch this. Stay here, Avery. Stay here. Many years ago, there was a guy by the name of Billy Bray. Billy Bray was a Cornish miner, and he had worked in the mines, received Christ as a Savior in 1823 at the age of 29. Before he got saved, he was a drunk. One day, he's out working in the garden. As he tells the story, he said, the devil began to oppress me. He said, it was bad. He said, the devil came up and said, hey, look, if God really loved you, you would not be getting those puny potatoes out of the garden. Look at all the sacrifice, all the time, all the energy you're given. That's how God rewards you? All he's going to give you is puny potatoes? Billy Bray said, that day I decided to have a conversation with the devil. He said, I looked at that old devil, that old slew foot. And I'm reading from his mentor, or his memoirs here, and he says this. He said, that day I made some choices. He says, I began to have conversation with the devil. He said, devil, I've been true to you all the years I served you. No, you never had a better servant than me. You were my master. I did everything you said and more. I was very obedient, but you gave me no potatoes. So if Christ chooses to give me puny potatoes, I'll take them over your no potatoes. Amen. He said, plus, let me remind you. He said, I would rather be in hell with Jesus than in heaven without. For hell with Jesus would seem like heaven, because after all, Jesus is heaven to me. Somebody wrote a poem years ago, songwriter. He said, if the walls were not jasper and the streets were not gold, if the mansions all crumbled, if folks still grew old, yet if I'd see everything that I've been longing to see, if only I see Jesus, that's what makes heaven sweet to me. It's just Jesus. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. You don't understand, man. I'm just having so much difficulty. Well, first off, if you're not saved today, you can come to Him. You can yoke up with Him by receiving Him as Savior. That's where it all begins. But let's say that you are saved. Let's say you're having a difficult time. Let's say that you've tried, failed, tried, failed, tried, failed, tried, failed. maybe what you need to do is simply come to him and yoke up. When you submit and you yoke up as a believer, now your schooling begins. But until you yoke up, there's no schooling. No schooling. Because it's almost like this. It's almost like you're trying to survive all by yourself, and Christ looks at you and says, well, I'm here. All you got to do is come. I'm giving you the invitation. All you got to do is come. I'm speaking to you and everybody. Hey, come! Come! You can choose not to, or you can choose to. And when you choose to, and you yoke up, he says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He says, and when you come unto me, I will give you rest. Thank you. Be seated. Here's my question this morning. Are you yoked up with Jesus Christ? Are you yoked up with Jesus Christ? You say, preacher, I'm saved. I didn't ask that. Are you yoked up with Jesus Christ? Well, I'm trying, preacher. It's just not working. Understand. Believe me, I understand. It's because you're not yoked up with Jesus. I'm trying to live for God in a public school and it's hard. Understand. I'm trying to live for God in a neighborhood and it's hard. I understand. I'm trying to make it, but I just keep failing. I understand. It's because you're not submitting and you're not in the school. When you get in the school, he teaches you how to be a better parent. Amen. Come on. I'm not being a smart aleck. But do you really think you know more in Christ? Do you really think so? Do you think that you've got it all together and you can make it without him? Do you really think so? Do you really think that you can be the parent that you're supposed to be? Oh, I love my child so much. You don't love your child as much as you should if you're not helping them do what they're supposed to do and obeying Christ. You have one responsibility in life, and that is to point your children to Jesus Christ. Just keep pointing them to Jesus Christ. Because one day, friend, you'll be gone. I was telling one of these people over here, I forget who it was. I said, it's amazing. I said, you know, the guys I looked up to years ago, they're all gone. Brother Purvis, they're all gone. I remember us driving up Chicago, and there was Tom Malone. Remember that, honey? Blue glasses. Out of all the highways in America, you remember that? Out of all the highways in America, we drove up right beside his car. Blue glasses, deep, raspy voice. A leader. I told the kids, I said, man, hurry up, write, I love you. Write it hard where he can see it. I love you. Memory's old. I love you. Write deep. I love you. Told the kid, write, you're my hero. Write it. So, you know, tried to stay as close to him as I could. Then we pulled up beside him. They put those things against the windows. And you could see the old man smile. Hello? What'd I do? Taught a little life principle to my children. That's what I did. Come on. I'm saying this. We teach them in the school. The other day I was in a grocery store. I had one of the teenagers with me. I was in a grocery store. He said, hey, preacher, he said, can I spend some time with you? I said, sure. I said, I got to go pick up something. I said, I'm only going to go down to the grocery store. I need to pick something up for my office. Want to ride with me? He said, sure, I'd like to. He said, I just want to spend time with you. That's all I want to do. I said, great, let's do it. So got in the car, went down to the grocery store. He started asking questions. I was answering his questions. We got out of the car. I noticed that we were heading into the grocery store. There's an older lady coming out. She's taking her time pushing the buggy. You could tell she's having a hard time. I said to the teenager, I said, come on, let's go. He said, I thought we were going in. I said, no, we're going over here. We took the lady's groceries, put them in the back of the car. I said, you okay? You all right? She said, oh, yes, sir. Okay. She said, that was very kind. Thank you very much. You know what happened? Teenager saw a lesson. Teenager saw a lesson. We were in the kids saw this when they were younger. We'd see an older couple eating. They'd hold hands and they'd pray. You know, like they're struggling to get it out. They'd pray. Close their eyes real hard. They'd pray. We watch people like that. We walk over to them and say, look, man, you just impressed us so much. Thank you for being an example to our children. We'd like to pay for your meal. Such a great example. Thank you so much. Hey, can I tell you? Listen, that was a life principle, a life lesson for the kids. For the kids. We travel in evangelism. We get a pastor's house. We didn't play around. Say, hey, pastor, we're here. Tell us what you want us to do. Need your lawn mowed? We're here. Want rooms painted? We're here. You know, you need us to change out anything? Hey, we're here. We're here for you this week. That's all we're here for. We want to serve your people. We'll go out soul winning. We'll do what we're supposed to do. But this week, you're our man of God. And this week, whatever you say, we're here for you. I can't begin to tell you how many lawns we mowed. Can't begin to tell you. Remember one time we went to Oklahoma. I don't know who was with me. I took one of the two of the boys. Went to Oklahoma. There was a church. Tornado had come through and tore off the roof. And I said, hey, guys, guess what? Guess what? Tomorrow, we're going to go put a roof on a church. Yeah. You know, Pastor Simpson's going to go, invite us to come. Let's go do it. Let's go do it. Man, we drove all the way from Louisiana to Oklahoma, tore the old roof off, put a brand new roof on, replaced toy. Hey, that was good for them. That was good for them. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, yoke up with Christ, submit, and allow that to be your schooling. And by the way, you'll be able to make it without continually trying to make it, and that arm of the flesh simply fails you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.